I am excited about this morning because from January, we've been in this series that I hope has been beneficial to you. I know it's been very encouraging to me because we've been looking at what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. And it's really a parable about four different kinds of soil. And what kind of soil is there to receive the seed of God's word? And we've been all the way from January talking about the first three kinds of soil that Jesus described that the seed may land upon. And all those first three types of soil were not all that beneficial because the first three types of soil do not allow for the word of God to penetrate down in. But now we're getting to the fourth soil. It's the good soil. And it's the whole reason that we've been teaching through this parable because it's so important that we put roots down into the soil, that we allow God's word not to just enter our hearts and our minds, but for it to take root in our lives. And that's where we are today because we know that where there is no root, there is no fruit. Right? Say it with me. Where there is no root, there is no fruit. We want to be fruitful people. Bottom line, we want to be fruitful people. And that's what we're talking about this week and next week as well. At the very end of this parable, Jesus is describing it to his disciples. He's kind of unpacking it, you know, kind of like concept by concept. And today we're at the very final verse of what Jesus talked about in this parable. It's found in Matthew 13, verse 23. And Jesus said this. He said, "The seed that fell on good soil." Good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Let me tell you why we're breaking this conversation into a couple of weeks. Next week, what I want to talk about is how to go from being, you know, those people who reproduce a harvest where it talks about 30 to 60 to 100. It kind of has this idea that we might be able to increase the level of our fruitfulness. You may look at your life and say, you know, I don't know what level of fruitfulness, you know, would be characteristic of my life. But what I want to do is I want to grow in my fruitfulness. I want to expand that. If God says that it's possible for me to be 100-fold in my fruitfulness, now that's what I want to shoot for. So we're going to be talking next week about how to grow in our fruitfulness. But today, I want to talk about the qualities that we see in a fruitful life. I'm going to be talking about two specific qualities that we see in fruitful lives. But let's read that verse one more time together and look at something that Jesus says. He says, "The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word." Hearing and understanding, two different things. When we talked about the different types of soil preceding the good soil, there was the hard soil, okay? Hard soil is where the seed doesn't even penetrate the ground whatsoever. That doesn't even crack the surface of the earth. So people that would be representing of the hard soil are those that don't even hear it. I mean, you can be talking to someone about Jesus. You can be opening up God's word, talking to them. There may be even somebody right now, and like, I'm here talking about God's word, and you're like thinking about the Dodgers and how they need a better, like, you know, relief pitcher or bullpen right now. So I don't know what you're thinking about. But you may not be hearing what I'm preaching. We don't want to be hard soil. We need to hear it. We need to allow that word to come in to our heart, to our mind, so that then we can move to that second idea of not just hearing God's word, but understanding it. Now, when we talked about the second and third type of soil, Jesus talks about not just the hard soil. Those are people that don't get it at all. But then there's people that he described as rocky soil. And then he talked about those who represent a weedy soil, lots of weeds and thorns. Those are people that actually do hear. They hear God's word. And it even says on one of the soils, it says that they, like, man, quick life just springs up. It's like, man, that's so exciting. Man, I love to hear about that. Maybe you were here on Easter and was like, wow, God is so good. He died for me and he rose again. That's amazing. I'll put my trust in him for sure. So we hear, but then the other stuff begins to happen in our lives. Problems rise up, issues, lures, we get lured away. We talked about the lure of wealth that Jesus talked about in the weedy soil. We talked about the lure of sexual temptation, and it just can just pull us right out. And there's so many different kinds of lures, right? All these kinds of things describe people that they hear the word, but they don't let it actually get down all the way into the depths of their life. They don't really say, God, I want to take your word and understand it fully. I want all of the parts of my life to understand what it means to be a person of your life and of your word. But Jesus says that the good soil, the fruitful soil, is represented by those who not only hear, but they understand. Jesus talked about that numbers of times in his teachings. You may remember that he even talked about there's people that build their house on a smart place, right, on the rock, so that when storms come, man, it's okay. Man, their house is going to stand strong because it was built on the rock. And then he said there's other people who build their house on the sand. And when if your house is built on the sand, storms come and it washes out to sea. House is gone. We built our life on something that was not stable. You know what he says about those who build their house on the rock? Same thing, that they hear God's word and then put it into action. There's something where they say, I don't wanna just hear God's word. I wanna like make this the foundation of my life. So Jesus talked about these concepts over and over, hearing and understanding. Hearing God's word and putting it into practice. And it's those people that have fruitful lives. So I want to talk about two different qualities that we see in the lives of fruitful people whose roots are way down deep into this good soil of hearing and understanding. The first quality that we see in the lives of fruitful people is that they're growing. They're growing. Everybody say growth. Guess what? Healthy, fruitful plants grow. But before you grow fruit, there's other types of growth that take place in the life of that plant. Okay? First of all, we've been talking a lot about this, they grow down roots. But they don't just grow down roots, they also grow out branches. And they don't just grow out branches, they grow out leaves. Boop. Right? Leaves, little healthy leaves are popping out to soak up the sun, right? All that energy that they're receiving, you know, so the roots are soaking up the water and soaking up the nutrients, and the leaves are out here. There's this growth that's going on, and then they produce beautiful flowers. Boop, 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 right? Flowers are coming out. Do you know that all fruit is preceded by flowers and by leaves and by other kinds of growth? Before the growth of fruit comes other kinds of growth. But there's an issue there. When we lived in Oregon, before we moved here, we had a home that had this beautiful tree in the backyard, and it had been planted not all that long before we had moved into the house, and it was this beautiful tree, and I'm guarantee you, if we went there right now, you would look in the backyard and say, that is a beautiful tree, because right now, it has all kinds of these pink blossoms all over. It's this cherry tree. And it's gorgeous. And I'm telling you, when you live in a place that really has four seasons, you know, and it was just sticks, you know, months ago. It was just this little twig sticking up in the air. And then all of a sudden, two things happen. It turns into baseball season, and it turns into growth season. And they always are right at the same time. And man, we got baseball, and we got flowers on the trees, and it's gorgeous. And so when this tree, first, when we moved in, it's like, oh, it's springtime, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. And then I'm like, I wonder what sort of fruit this tree is going to give us. This was not a fruit-bearing tree. They had planted an ornamental tree, an ornamental cherry tree. Can I tell you? What a bummer. Because here's what I want to tell you. Not all growth is equal. See, now, all fruitful people are going to be growing people, but not all growth is equal. And God does not call us to be beautiful ornamental trees. He calls us to be fruit-bearing, to be fruitful. But you see, sometimes we get stuck because we know how bad we used to be. And maybe you think back of your life and you go, man, I was just like one of those dead-looking twiggy trees. There was no life on me. There was no beauty. There was no leaves. There was no flower. There was nothing. I was just dead wood. But now Jesus has come. Thank you, Lord. And now I'm getting my roots down, and I'm putting forth this greenery in my life. But I want to tell you, do not stop at being a leafy Christian. Do not stop at having a leafy life. It looks good. It looks good from a distance. People see your life and they go, woo, man, you look good. Because I used to know you and you used to just be a bunch of dead wood. And now you've got leaves. Maybe there's even flowers. But when they come closer, they're not finding the fruit of your life. It looks good on the outside, but we stop there. See, a leafy life looks good on Facebook. It looks really good on Pinterest. It may even look good on Instagram. It looks nice. It's all polished. It's like alive and woo, you got it going on. But you know what? On closer inspection, you find that there's nothing of substance there to grab a hold of that is reproducing something of real life. Jesus did not call us to be ornamental trees, but to be fruit-bearing. In fact, in John chapter 15, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I want to just look at these first couple of verses because Jesus is talking about the whole aspect of the garden and the gardener. And in John chapter 15, Brie, go and put the slide up. Jesus says this, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off, He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Couple things from this short idea here. Number one, God's into fruit. God is into fruit and he is not into ornamental trees, right? Second thing that we see, everyone gets cut. Pruning, cutting is part of life. Man, so even if you're a fruitful believer in Jesus and all of a sudden you feel some pain in your life and God, what are you doing? I'm pruning. But listen, if I'm going to experience the cutting of the Lord in my life, I want it to be because I'm fruitful and he's pruning me for greater fruitfulness. I don't want to feel the cut and the pain because he's just cutting off and having to hack off dead areas of my life that I have not allowed to become fruitful. Okay? Jesus is serious about his disciples, his followers becoming fruitful people. He's interested in us growing to be like him. Not just pretty, but to be like him. In Ephesians chapter 4, There is such an important passage of scripture that describes what the goal of our growth should be like. And here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to this church in Ephesus. He said, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work." In other words, to be fruitful. The only reason that God raises up pastors or prophets, evangelists, teachers, all those people who are doing ministry work is to cause fruit to grow up within the followers of Jesus and within the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13, he goes on and says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." We're to like mature all the way until we look like Jesus. See, our growth isn't just to become pretty cleaned up versions of what we used to be. Let me say that again. Our growth is not to be just pretty cleaned up versions of who we used to be. Well, see, I used to have prison tats. But now I'm all cleaned up. I went and got more expensive tats covering up those old prison tats. Right? My kids used to hate me and hate on each other, and man, now they tolerate me and tolerate each other, and it's all cleaned up now, Pastor. Look at us, getting all cleaned up. I moved out of the old neighborhood and moved into a nice neighborhood. See, it looks good on the outside, but can I tell you, I don't know that Jesus really cares about where you live, where your home is. I don't even care. I don't think he cares about your tats. I don't think he cares about how prettied up on the outside you're looking. What he wants is for there to be maturity. Maturity measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, that we actually look like Jesus, that when people look at us, they see Jesus in us. And then he goes on, verse 14 and 15. "Then we will no longer be immature." We're all grown up. "We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so they sound like the truth." See, it's very important that we grow to be like Jesus and we put down these deep roots, because there will be all kinds of storms that we're going to encounter in life. And there's going to be people that come along that try to like uproot us and get us off base and start thinking about God in ways that are not accurate and not true and do not measure up to what God's word tells us about God. So we need to be smart. We need to hear and understand. To be fruitful, growing to be more and more like Christ. And then the last verse, in verse 15, he says this: "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." Hey, my friends, this is the goal, that our growth isn't just produce leaves, or even to produce pretty flowers. It is to produce the life of Christ in every area of our life. In every area. So that we come to full maturity in every area. My priorities, what I prioritize in my life. If you look at my calendar, that somehow my calendar is reflecting Jesus lives here. Jesus lives in my life. You can see it if you look at my day timer, right? You look at my schedule and my calendar. Somehow my priorities about what I used to do, who I used to invest time in, now it's like, okay, now I'm prioritizing things different because Jesus is the Lord of my calendar, right? You can look at my checkbook. What's a checkbook? Okay, you can look at my bank statement online. Because, listen, nothing reflects our priorities like our calendars and our checkbooks. Those reflect our priorities. Those don't lie. Where you spend your time and where you use your money, those don't lie. Amen. If you look at my checkbook or you look online at my bank statement, it should reflect something of the life of Jesus. Something of God is evident in how I invest my money. Right? My work ethic. You can't be lazy and be a good employee. You can't be non-integrous. You can't be a liar and be a good employee. You can't be a cheater. You can't be a thief. So all those things, man, that used to represent the dead wood in my life. But now there's this growth that is happening because now even at work, I'm looking more and more like Jesus. And in my marriage, in the way I treat my children, something is happening of growth. Not that it looks perfect from the outside, but man, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to love my wife more like Jesus would. I want to love my kids more like Jesus would. I want to grow to be more and more like Jesus. That's the kind of growth that we need as fruitful people. Here's the second type of quality that we see in fruitful people. Not only are they people who are growing, but they're people who are reproducing. Fruitful people reproduce. They reproduce. The fruit of our life will feed people. That's good that we feed people. But even more important is that that seed within the fruit is released to reproduce life itself. Listen, if you go to an apple, slice it in half, what are you gonna find in the middle? Seeds. You know that within every apple is the DNA for an entire orchard. That's what we see in the lives of people that are fruitful. There is something about them that's not just growing, right, to be like Jesus, but if that's true, there's gonna be something that is reproducing that life of Jesus in the lives of others. How does God count our fruitfulness? Counts it in people. I want to say it again. How does God measure the fruitfulness of our lives? See, it's not through our bank account. It's not in how nice of a home we have. It's not in how much of this I have or how much of that I have. You know what he measures it in? The life of people. That's how he measures our fruitfulness. Are we reproducing something of the life of Jesus in the lives of others? We know that when Jesus returned to heaven, right before he left, he gave what is called the Great Commission. Like his last words, what were his last words? Was to go and make disciples of all peoples or of all nations. See, Jesus cares about people. He cares about people. Those who are fruitful, those who hear God's word and understand God's word, guess what? We are those who reproduce the life of Jesus in others around us. Your job is really important, but your job is a means to interact with people that God loves. So if you are a mechanic, all right, your job is not about cars. Your job is about touching the lives of people who bring in their cars. You have the opportunity to talk to people I never get to talk to. Because when their car breaks down, they don't come to Pastor Tim's office. Oh, Pastor Tim, my car broke down. I'd look at them and go, yeah, go see Chuck Pickle because I have no idea what's going on with your car. Go see someone else. Talk to them. So you know what? They come to you. They come to the mechanic to deal with their car. So mechanics, you have an opportunity to interact with people and somehow reproduce the life of Jesus in your interactions with people who may never walk through the doors of this church, may never walk into my office or into my life, but they're walking into yours. If you are an accountant, can I tell you your job is not about numbers? It's not about numbers. It's about people. Because those numbers somehow represent things that are happening in people's lives and in organizations. And organizations are a people, a group of people who are set out to accomplish something. So when you are working with numbers, you need to be remembering it's about people. That these numbers represent people. How might I reproduce the life of Jesus in the people that I'm interacting with? If you're a truck driver, can I tell you, it's not about the beer that you're delivering. And if you don't know, our church delivers most of the beer up in SLO. One of the little-known facts about Santa Maria Four Score Church is we deliver the beer to SLO. But let me tell you, if you're a truck driver, it is not about what you're hauling in the truck. It's about what you're hauling in your life. It's about what you're bringing to those doors. When you're knocking on that restaurant door, when you're going into that place and you're interacting with a person that Jesus loves, that may be far from Christ, but you have the opportunity to reproduce something of the life of Jesus. If you're a mom, bless your heart. But can I tell you, it is not about having a perfectly clean home. It's not about having little Instagram pictures of your children all clean and in matching little outfits. That's all good. But you know what? It's not about that. It's about reproducing something of the life of Jesus in your children. That's what it's about to be a mom or a dad. Reproducing the life of Jesus. Can I tell you that fruitful people are growing people, growing to be more like Jesus, but then they're also reproducing people. They're doing things that reproduce the life of Jesus in those around them. What does it look like to reproduce the life of Jesus? Well, it depends on what the need is that you encounter. Man, someone may be going through depression or sadness or grief. You get to reproduce something of hope. Hope. Something of the promise of God that would say, you know, God is for you, He is not against you. God's promise is that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. And something of hope can begin to generate in that life of that person. That's reproducing something of the life of Christ. Maybe someone is sick. Maybe they're dealing with some literal pain within their body. And just by saying, hey, you know what? Can I pray for you? Would that be all right? Dude, I'm in so much pain. I don't care. Go ahead, pray. I don't even believe in God, but if you want to give me warm thoughts and, you know, whatever you do, you know what? You begin to just pray the life of Jesus over that person right at the point of their pain and just allow God to do what God's going to do. Reproducing something of His healing work. As you get to know people's stories better, maybe you're interacting with your neighbors and you start to find part of their story, and maybe there's some brokenness, maybe there's some addiction, maybe they're dealing with some pain there, that you get to begin to reproduce the life of Christ by telling them the stories of your own life. By, you know what, once I was really caught up in this, maybe some of you have stories of coming out of addiction, and man, I was so messed up and I was so caught in this. Can I tell you that Jesus wants to bring freedom to your life? And there's a whole lot of people who spiritually have just not come to life. They're spiritually dead. And reproducing the life of Jesus may look like, hey, you know what? I'd love to tell you about the life that I've found in Jesus. oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Reproducing the life of Jesus looks like all of those things because all of those things are found in Christ. So what is the need that you encounter? That person that's broken, that person that's hurting, that person that's rejoicing, that person who's doing really well. How do you come alongside of them and bring encouragement in Christ? How do you come along and bring that word to them that is fitting right for the moment? Trusting that God will give all of his gifts to us to bring his life to people that so desperately need it and he so desperately loves. Fruitful people are growing to look like Jesus. And then they're taking that life of Jesus and reproducing it outside of themselves in the lives of others. Because that seed is not meant just for you. It is meant to give away that life to reproduce in the lives of others. We know that Jesus said about his own mission that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. People. Jesus came for people. He came to rescue humanity. He came to seek and to save, to seek out. How can I reproduce my life in the lives of others? And then you know what Jesus said to his disciples? In John 20:21, he said this, as the Father sent me, so I send you. It's about people. Go and make disciples. Go and reproduce my life in the lives of others.